I am with you always. But it's not primarily about you. It is about me. And we are reflecting on God's sovereignty. And the fact that we were created for His glory. And that He is the center of the universe. And we live for Him. And He loves us. And He's given His life for us to redeem us, to belong to Him, to be with Him. Last week, Werner spoke about the life of Joseph. And the life and all the hardships and challenges and prisons and rejection. And suffering that he had to go through, yet God was with him always and turned it to his good, it all for the good in the end. That God was faithful in every prison that he was placed, and in the end turned it for good according to his purpose and plan. And we read of this Joseph's own testimony in Genesis 50 verse 20, where he says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." And so we see in summary how God was faithful to do according to his purpose and plan. And Joseph was a benefactor of that purpose and plan. We see this story in all of the heroes of faith in the Bible. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and we can add to the list Moses, Joshua, David. God had a purpose and a plan, and there was an invitation to be part of that purpose and plan. God revealed it to Abram, and everyone else were beneficiaries. God spoke to Abram and says, "Through you, I will send my son and he will bless all the nations." That's a summary of the covenant God made with Abram. "And as you partake of my plan and purpose, you will become a beneficiary of my presence and my blessing throughout your life." And Abram believed God, trusted him, and went where God sent him. And he became a beneficiary of God's purpose. And so is all of us. All of us. You can go throughout this amazing thread in the Bible of God's plan and purpose and our participation of it and the blessing we reap because of it. Those heroes of faith we read of that participated in God's plan and purpose were not perfect. They were not perfect. Abram wasn't perfect. He had Ishmael. Jacob wasn't perfect. He was a deceiver. And so you can go on with the list. Moses hit the rock. David committed adultery. The disciples wasn't perfect. Looked at Peter. And of course Saul, that even persecuted the church. And yet they all chose to partake in God's plan and purpose and became beneficiaries of God's presence and blessing. Romans 8 verse 28, we know it so well, puts it this way, "And we know that all things God works for the good for those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose." And the New King James put it this way, "And we know all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose." That is you and me here today. We are here today because we responded to God's love and purpose. And we were born again to become a new creation, which is part of his purpose. And we have become beneficiaries of that plan and purpose of God. And so this morning, we're going to spend some time. This is one of those verses that gives us great hope and peace, no matter what we face in life. the trials, the tribulations, the setbacks, the storms, the prisons. It's one of the hacks of life. If you believe, understand, and live this verse, you will have peace and hope no matter what you face in life. That's why it's so well known. And so this morning, I want us to spend some time and break this verse down word for word and trust the Lord to settle it in our hearts that when we face our storms and prisons, we will also have hope and faith and peace in the midst of it. I'm gonna do it in a way that's also very helpful in your personal Bible study. What to do with a verse that stands out for you. If you read in your quiet time and God speaks to you through a verse, please stop at that verse. Stop and meditate on it. Break it down. Why is God speaking to me through this verse? What does it mean? And how do I apply this? And a very good way to do it is to write it out by hand. That will help you to focus on every word. You know, there's something powerful about the word. When Jesus was tempted, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." Every word of God. And what is so powerful when we start writing it out word for word, we are forcing ourselves to focus on it word by word. And so this morning, I'm going to look at a verse, at this particular verse, in this manner, and trust that the Lord will make it alive in us, that it will produce its purpose to bring forth life in us. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord, and we pray that as we meditate upon it, that you will speak to each and every one of us, that you will come and settle it, plant it like a seed in our hearts, Lord. Let your spirit bring water to it and make it grow. Let it germinate and grow and bear fruit in us, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. That you may be glorified in and through it, in Jesus' name. We're going to start off with this verse and break it up in seven parts. And I'm going to start off with this first bit. We know, we'll go to the next slide. We know. What do we know? What a powerful way to start a verse. We know. What do we know? This word know, literally in Greek, means to know and understand something. We know and understand something. It's a declaration. This knowledge is not wishful thinking. It's not philosophy. This is based on the revealed truth of God. We know something. We know something. It is a deep-seated conviction that comes from faith and experience. And you know what I've discovered as I am getting, my wife says I'm not allowed to say it, but I am getting older. I don't feel like it inside, but I have come to realize my body isn't 25 anymore. It's a difficult phase in life. Yeah, it's difficult. Yeah, I know. But what I've also discovered at this age, when I counsel people, I no longer simply counsel in faith. I actually counsel in experience. I actually note in myself that I look back more into my life and see God's faithfulness. And I'm not just counseling in hope. And in faith of God's faithfulness, I reflect back on my life and see how faithful God has been. It is actually such a privilege to be old because you have experience. It's not just faith, it's experience. We know something, not simply by faith, we know something by experience. We know. Some things we know by faith and other things we know by experience. But this opening phrase we know is something that we are convinced of. It is a deep-seated conviction that comes from faith and experience. The same word, and there's many occasions in the word that this word we know come and are seen. But here's one powerful example in Matthew 9, verse 6. Jesus said, "But that you may know, that you may know that the Son of God has authority to forgive sins. That you may know this." God said to the paralytic, "Arise, stand up, take your bed and walk." This was done so that we may know, that we may understand, that we may have a deep-seated certainty in our hearts. And you know what is so powerful about the statement? It is not just revealed to us. It's not just us as individuals. It's plural. We know. We corporately know something about God. We know. We have experienced. We have faith through revelation, the knowledge, the understanding. And this is not just individual faith, but shared experience. It is not just my own testimony, but the testimony of others. When we listen to the stories of God's faithfulness in not just my life, but in other people's lives, we become convinced of this truth. And so we start off with, we know something. We know something. And I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to say something. I want you to say this. I know. I know. And now I want you to open your eyes and I want us all to say together, we know. One, two, three. We know. There's something powerful when we know something. Not just I know something, but in the presence of all. You know, that's why worship and singing is so powerful. When we do corporate worship, it's not just we sing, I know. It's a we know. And it's a together with the others that builds our faith. And so this powerful verse, this hack in life that will help you when you face your storms, your trials, and your tribulations is not just an I know, it is a we know. And this is so important because this is where we encourage one another when we see others going through trials and tribulations, that we can go to them and say, we know. We know something. In the midst of your storm, your trial, your tribulation, we know. We understand. And so this verse starts with that. The second part is all things. Go to the next slide. We know what? That all things, no matter good or bad, abundance or lack, suffering or prosperity, in all things, we know that in all things. Sometimes we think only of the hard times that tests our faith, like when Israel went through the desert and there was not water and there was not food, they were tested in the hardship. But that's not the only time we are tested. We're also tested in prosperity when everything goes well. I mean, that's so classic when God spoke to the Israelites after 40 years and he told them, I'm going to take you into the land of promise, the promised land, the land of blessing, the land that overflows of milk and honey. And when you have houses you did not build and vineyards you did not plant and you eat of the figs you didn't labor for, do not forget me. When you prosper, do not forget me. But so encouraging for us is that all things, specifically in what we suffer, and face, the storms and the hardships. It doesn't matter what you face. We know that in all things, in every circumstance, no matter how hard it may be, we know something about God and His character and His promise in all things. Especially encouraging when we face our trials and tribulations, no matter how hard it may seem, we know that in all things God is with us. He is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And He is able and willing to help you. To help you either still the storm or give you the strength to overcome it. He's going to do one or two things. In all things, He is with you and He will either still it for you or give you the strength to overcome it. As Hebrews 4 verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest that is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is great encouragement for when we face our trials and our temptation and tribulation, because we have a God that is able to identify with our suffering, because He suffered just like we did. He was tempted in every way. He was betrayed. He was forsaken. He was tortured to death. He is a man familiar with suffering. And we have a God that we can approach that understands, no matter, nobody may understand what you are going through. And often that is true. But there is one who does, who has been through it all. It is our Lord and Savior, our God. He not only sees, He understands. Not from a distance, but because He was man Himself, He can understand our pain, our suffering, our weakness. And therefore, we can come to Him as one who understands to find mercy and grace in our time of need. It's a great encouragement. No matter what you're going through, you can turn to Jesus who understands. And He can give you grace in your time of need. That brings me to the third point, the next slide. It's actually God. Sorry. That's my mistake. There we go. Wasn't my mistake. It is God. It is God. We understand that in all things, not my own ability, my own wisdom, my own strength, my own endurance. No, it is God that works in every circumstance. It is God. God is actively involved in this world. If we meditate upon it, we know this, that in all things, God is present. God is at work in this world, in every circumstances, and more specifically and powerfully and liberating, He is at work in my life. I am not alone. He is with me, always. It is God that is involved in the lives of His people. And God is sovereign, omnipresent and omnipotent. It means always present, omnipresent. Omnipotent means He is all powerful. There is nothing that He cannot do. He is sovereign, and whatever He wants to do, nothing can prevent Him from doing it. And so we can face this world knowing no matter what I am facing, God is with me and is all powerful, all knowing, all present. It is God who helps me. I do not put my trust in man as much as I want to always be there for my children. I cannot always help them, even though I want to. I'm not there. I don't have the authority. I don't have the ability. But there is one that you can always call. It's God. He's with you always. There's a psalm I often recite when I walk home past the mountains. What a privilege we have to live here and have mountains and the sea. And every time I see the mountains, I quote Psalm 121. I look up to the mountains. Where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Maker of heaven and earth. What great confidence that my help does not come from a president or a man or a champion. It comes from God, who is the Maker of heaven and earth. What great confidence do we have? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And you can read the rest of the psalm. It is so encouraging. The one who helps me can do all things, have created all things and sustain all things. It is God Himself. And it's so powerful about God's character. David often writes, God is a strong tower to which I run in my times of need. He is a shield to those who call out on Him. When you need to be safe, be protected, God is the one who wants to be your tower and your shield. Not just able to, but wants to. So run to Him in your time of need. The fourth one is that all things work together. All things work together. It is so powerful when we face trials and tribulations and storms and prisons and setbacks. In the midst of our humanness and our weakness and our frailty and our lack of faith at times, our inability to see the outcome of the circumstances. We do not know the future. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things. And He works all things together for our good. He works all things together. He uses everything that I face in life to shape, to grow, and to prepare me for eternal life. That gives me great confidence when I face hardship. I know God is at work in the midst of all this to shape, to grow, and to prepare me for eternal life. It gives me great confidence. Even in my trials and tribulations, James 1 verse 2 to 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It produces something in you, and let that perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. It's great confidence and encouragement when you face hardship, knowing that you are not alone, that God is at work in all things. He's at work. He will use it. As hard as it might seem at that time, God is not only with me in my trial, He is using it to grow me into maturity, into Christ-likeness. Every circumstance that I face, good or bad, God uses to grow me to become more like His Son. That's Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. We know it so well. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, no matter what I have to bear, I have to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before Him endured His suffering, His cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. If you become weary and discouraged in your soul, look to Jesus. How He overcame. How He embraced His suffering. And go to Him and say, Lord, help me to do it the way You did it. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to bear this. I've come to my end. And this is one of the most amazing things that I've discovered in my life. When I come emotionally or physically at my end and I can no longer bear, I can turn to Jesus and look to him how he did it and say, Lord, I can't do it the way you did it. But I ask you for grace to help me to do it the way you did it. And you know what is amazing? That is where I am changed. And it is not my strength, but in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. He enables me to overcome what I cannot do. So he gets the glory for every victory that I have, because it wasn't me. It was him. And so I have great confidence to turn to him in every circumstance that I can no longer bear. And know this is an opportunity for God to change me, to become more like Jesus. Help me, Lord, to face my trial, my betrayal, my shame, and my pain the way you did. I cannot do this. So I ask you for grace. Help me. And that is where we change. That is where transformation happens. That is where we become more Christ-like, not through our own strength and our own endurance and our own ability, but in the lack of it, by the end of it, God comes in and do it. And so, yes, he works all things together to grow us, to mature us, and to make us more like Jesus. And that brings us to the fifth point, for our good, not for our harm. He does it, he uses it for our good. Everything we go through and face, God uses it, turns it in the end for our good. If we follow God, if we allow God in our circumstance to turn it for our good, even hardship, he turns it for our good. Even the hardship we face because of our own wrong choices. You know, there are things in life that we face that was not our fault. Remember Joseph? I mean, he wasn't put in prison because he did something wrong. He was put in prison because of somebody else's wrong. God says, I will turn that for your good. And we understand that. But you know what? God even turns for good when you mess up and you end up in prison because of what you have done. God said, I'm faithful, even when you are unfaithful. I will remain with you. I made a promise. I have a purpose. And you've become part of that purpose. And I am going to turn even your own mistakes for your good. I will use it. We read of this in Hebrews 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by the Father? No discipline seems pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level the paths of your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather be healed. What a great encouragement. Even if you mess up, God will discipline you and use it. And if you allow him to, he will train you by it to make you stronger. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So in all things, God works for the good. All hardship, whether it's a sin of somebody else or your own, God will turn it for your good. So be encouraged. No matter what hardship we face in life, God will turn it for good. But this promise is not for everyone. It's not for all humans. It's only for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We have something the world doesn't have. We have hope in the midst of hardship. We have hope in the midst of suffering. We have the presence of God with us, who is able to turn it for our good no matter what we face. And so when we face suffering, we have something the world doesn't have. I sometimes look at the suffering in this world and I think, praise God, I am a Christian. I have something that sustains me. I don't know how the world does it. How do you deal with loss? How do you deal with betrayal? How do you deal with death? Oh, we have hope. We have God. That brings us at the last, number six, the next line. To those who love God. This is a specific group of people who love God, who actually responded to His love. It didn't start with us. It's actually God loving us, and we are the people who are responding to the love of God, which makes us different to the rest of the world. We read in 1 John 4, we love Him because He first loved us. So we are special because we responded, not because we did anything. It's because God loved us and we simply responded. And because He loves us, we responded to Him and He adopted us into His own family. He adopted us as children, His own children. This is the maker of heaven and earth that says, you are now my child. I'm not just your helper. I'm your father. I'm not just your champion. I am your father. You belong to me now. You are mine and I am yours. This gives me great confidence in time of need. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Children of God. You are never alone. There is always a place where you belong. It is in God's house. He is your Father who loves you. Gives me great confidence. This highlights a relational aspect to our faith. This is not religion. This is not rules to obey, to earn anything. This is a relationship with a loving Father who cares and loves me. And when we call out unto Him, He listens. He not only hears us, He listens. And He's going to turn it for our good. Because He loves us. And that brings me to the last point, verse 7. We are all called according to His purpose. I'm with you always, but it's not only about you. It is not primarily about you prospering, Joseph. It is to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Yeah, Joseph. God was with him and God turned everything for his good and he became prime minister, a wealthy man. But God said it wasn't about you, Joseph. It was about a purpose, a promise I made to your great-great-grandfather, Abram. I said I will be with him and bless him. And through him, all the families of the world will be blessed. And so because you are part of that purpose, Joseph, I'm going to turn everything for your good. And I'm going to bless you, but it's not about you. It's about me. You are not the center of the universe, God is. That gives me great hope. It might be counterintuitive to many other doctrines out there, but you are not the center of the universe. God does not exist to prosper us. We exist to glorify Him. And because we are part of something greater than ourselves, God's blessing and promises is not dependent on me. It's not dependent on my perfection.